In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it is recorded that Jesus said, "And also I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." There, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we read of those who were added unto the Lord's church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we understand that Christ is the head of that church. Christ is the head of the body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, "For there is one body." We understand that the church is the body, and the body is made up of many members. And that is that there is work to do in the church. There is work to do in the church. The focus this evening is a woman's contribution to the local church. So what kind of work is involved in the local church? We all understand that there's benevolence. There in Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, when the church was beginning, we understand that those disciples came together, they sold their possessions, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. They gave to those who had need. There's edification in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. Let's go ahead and read that together, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. And the Bible reads, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love." So a work of the church is edifying itself, benevolence, as well as in evangelism. In Philippians chapter 4 there, Philippians chapter 4, 14 through 18, we understand that Paul went and departed from Macedonia, and he went even in Thessalonica. "He sent once and again unto my necessity," he says here, and then he went about preaching the gospel of Christ. We understand that Paul went a lot of places preaching and teaching. And not only Paul, but there are those, the growth of many churches is a result of the efforts by women. How can that be? How can that be, you might ask, if women are indeed limited in public assembly? So let's examine that real quick of public assembly. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 34 through 37, it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So we see here that the women are to keep silence in the church. That's true. That's what the Bible teaches. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, there verse 11 and 12, says, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." That is true. Again, the Bible tells us so. But there is much work that can be done outside of the assembly that has to be done if a church is to grow. So what is it that a woman can do? How can she contribute to the local church? So let's go into the areas in which we said are the works of the church: benevolence, edification, and evangelism. What is benevolence? The Greek word pronounced eunoia just means kindness or goodwill. And, of course, it is an important work. It is a mark of pure and undefiled religion. We see that in James chapter 1 and verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. It says, their pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Also, ministering to brethren who are sick, poor, and in prison is a service rendered to who? Christ himself. There in Matthew chapter 25. Let's take a look at that, please. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and following. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and following. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? In verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Recently there was an email that was sent out by a lady in the Philippines, a sister in Christ. Her name's Kathy, and her husband is in jail there outside of Manila. And she goes there quite often. It's about an 8 to 12 hour bus ride just to get there to visit her husband. And when she goes there, she encourages those that are in prison, that are Christians, to keep strong and to keep going on. She is very much an encouragement to those who are in prison. And we see here that it's doing it unto Christ himself, those that go and encourage and do well and promote goodwill and kindness to their brethren. And all Christians are to be involved in this work. We see in James chapter 2 and verses 14 and 16, and 1 John 3 and verse 17. However, and moreover, women are well suited for this type of benevolence. Women bring a special grace and beauty of which men are not normally capable. Unique attributes of femininity lend themselves well to this work. For example, the mercy and the compassion are almost second nature to women. And we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, that mercy is one of the gifts the Lord has given to the church. Romans chapter 12, there 6 and 8. So it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with liberally, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So those who are able to show mercy with cheerfulness, and often women can do that as almost second nature unto them. Women also possess skills through which benevolence can be rendered. For example, making clothes. We know of there in the New Testament of a woman by the name of Dorcas that did much for the needy widows there in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, 36 through 39. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him in the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. In a congregation there in Texas, there are ladies, and I'm sure there are here, that are very skillful in the craft of making blankets. And when new members come into the family, and when a baby is born, they prepare these blankets for this family, and it's a gift of love, of their ability to show that benevolence and that kindness to the brother or sister in Christ. What about cooking and babysitting, ministering to the sick, extending hospitality? Oftentimes when I've gone out and I've visited congregations, I'm sure you've had the same experience, where the ladies will come up and offer you a home-cooked meal. You might be hundreds of miles from home and haven't had a home-cooked meal. You've been eating at fast food restaurants and not enjoying the good food that you can from a woman's kitchen. And those women have extended many an invitation to offer up meals to those who have visited. What about there in 1 Timothy chapter 5? 1 Timothy chapter 5, there, verses 9 and 10, we read of those women that become older in age, those that have lost their husband, those that are widows indeed. And it says, let not, there in verse 9, let not a widow be taken of the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So we see here that there's a way for the younger women to strive, to be, to visit, to take care of, to wash the saints' feet, to lodge the strangers, and diligently follow good works. Any work that a woman does in the area of benevolence is a powerful contribution to the local church. Let us consider the work of edification. Edification is essential work, as we pointed out in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. It involves such instructions and such commandments as bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Comfort each other and edify one another, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 7. And comfort the faint-hearted and hold the weak, 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. Women can also do much to edify the church. We look here at through formal teaching of others. Grandmothers and mothers are to teach their children. 2 Timothy 1 and 5, 2 Timothy 3, 14, 15. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 3 and 14. We see here that Timothy learned the scriptures from, what, being old? No, by being a child, it says there in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And who was it that was teaching him? Let's take a look there in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. It says, when I called remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded that in thee also. It was Lois and Eunice that was teaching Timothy about the truth, about Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, backing up to verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou wakest, walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. All of Israel, I understand that to be. Older women can and should teach the younger women. There in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5 says, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husband, their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In many churches today, and churches old, there were those younger women who didn't have the opportunity to be raised in the church. And there are those older women that have been in the church that can take that time to teach them these things. Christian women can teach those without godly women, or as for examples. What about through informal words of encouragement? Very easy. Very a simple way. The gift of encouragement and nurturing possessed by many women is essential. You know, I might get in trouble here by the guys, but sometimes guys are big babies. They are. Big babies. You know, they might not show that they want to be loved, but they do. They certainly do. And it's a woman's touch, a woman's thoughtfulness, their caring, their compassion, their benevolence, and their encouragement that can help men understand that they're loved. For example, just last year, deployed to Kurdistan. There was many women in this congregation, Tanisha, Kay, Shelley, Renee, that sent cards or emails of encouragement to myself, who was 10,000 miles away from home. And one example particularly is Renee. She took the time to tell her students about a soldier overseas. She took the time to let her students write, each one write a little individual hello, stating, you know, good luck or thanks for serving or something in that effect. But that little bit of kindness meant so much to that airman's heart. And it's things such as that, and things, efforts of encouragement such as the teachers and the preachers that are going out there in their work, that are godly women are encouraging them as they go. When I was in the Philippines, Ron was there, and a question about benevolence or giving came up, and he shared a story to us about an older lady who didn't have much. I believe she was a widow. She grabbed him before he made his trip over there and said, I want to give you this. It was a small amount of money, but the gift was huge because it came from the heart and her willingness to want to help out in the preaching effort overseas. And there is a special need for women to see themselves as teachers for the young and the young people and other women, and as encouragers, again, of men in their work of preaching the gospel. So on the subject of preaching, what about evangelism? Well, we understand that evangelism is an imperative work. It was the great commission given by our Lord in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore out into all the world, teaching and baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to keep those teachings, to paraphrase. We understand that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, that Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In Acts chapter 8 and verses 1 and 4, let's turn there, please. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4. We see that Paul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In verse 4, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. It is an imperative work. And there is room where women can do much in that work. They can help support those who preach the gospel. What about in Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 8, 1 through 3. And it came to pass that he, that is Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. These ladies, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, were ministering unto Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Women provided much needed hospitality, such as Lydia in Acts 16 and 15. What about what they do to tell others about Christ? Let us consider the example of the Samaritan woman who was instrumental in converting many people to Christ. There in John chapter 4, 28-31. John chapter 4, 28-31. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the man. That was after Jesus had come to her and let her know who it was that she was speaking to. And come see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. We see there in verses 39 through 42, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of whom? Of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. She helped to lead them to Christ. And then there was Priscilla, who with her husband, we see, provided a place for Paul to stay during his ministry at Corinth. There in Acts chapter 18, 1 through 4, they were instrumental in converting Apollos at Ephesus. Acts chapter 18, 24 through 26. Let's take a look at that. Acts chapter 18, 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, and an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught, diligent those things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So they were able to teach Apollos the more perfect way that led to Christ. They hosted a church at Ephesus in their home, 1 Corinthians 16 and 19, and also hosted a church at Rome in their home, Romans 16, 3 through 5. But there is even those women who, without a word, can lead others to Christ, including their own husbands. There in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 and 2. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that also may without the word be won by the conversation or the conduct of their wives, other wives, while they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear. So those husbands will learn of the example, the godly, of godly women, and may lead them to Christ. Many souls have been saved and churches started through the evangelistic efforts of godly women. There is much a woman can contribute to the local church. We've discussed the work of the church as benevolence, edification, and evangelism. The true measure of a church is not defined by what occurs here inside the doors, but what happens day to day in home and at work and in the world. It involves what benevolence, edification, and evangelism takes place on a daily basis. When godly women are active in the service of the Lord, souls are saved, the church is made stronger, and the kingdom of God is expanded in the world. We have women like that here. Let us continue to pray, to grow, and to abound in the grace and love so much the more. At this time, the invitation is offered to those that believe with all thy heart that God chose Jesus to come to this earth, live a lowly life, be persecuted, hang on that cross, die, 3 days later be resurrected. Acts chapter 8, 36 and following. Have you confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the only Son of the living God? Have you repented of your sins? Luke 13 and 3 says that unless you repent, likewise you shall perish. And have you been baptized to be forgiven of your sins? Acts 2 and verse 38. And are you remaining faithful? If you are already a Christian and you have come short of the glory of God and you have any need, or if you are not a Christian, if you have any need, we ask that you come forward as we sing the song of encouragement.